Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Anna's Journey. This is Anna Renault, your show's host. You can find out more about me by visiting my website, annarenault.com. And that's annarenault.com. Thanks for being here on Anna's Journey. We're having an exciting show today, and we're going to be talking about something that pretty much impacts everybody, and that is taxes. So we're going to be talking with Chanel from Nell's Tax Services here in just a moment. But before we jump into the show, I always announce that I have an airtime sponsor, and today I also have a very quick small ad for a small business. But let's talk about my airtime sponsor, Ginny Robertson, LLC, and that's GINNYROBERTSON. Ginny Robertson, LLC has several parts to it, which includes a face-to-face networking organization, primarily here in Maryland, that has, I think right now we're up to about 8 meetings a month. Ginny has a purpose to connect women around the world to their gifts, their purpose, and each other. She endeavors and strives hard to give women a safe place from which they can discover and explore their gifts, experiment with self and ideas, create community, help others, and achieve a self-defined success. Women are invited and encouraged to show up real and stand in their power. And this whole idea of creating community, for a number of years it was on-purpose networking. It is now On Purpose Woman Community. It is an awesome change in name, but it certainly really fits in with Ginny's desire to connect women. You can get in touch with Ginny on her website, ginnyrobertson.com. She also publishes On Purpose Woman Magazine. It comes out 4 times a year. If you're here in Maryland or even Northern Virginia, there are connections over coffee meetings that are face-to-face. They've recently started an online meeting once a week. 3 of them are for the paid members, and 1 is for the global group here on Facebook. There is also a page for the members, and there's also a page for the global connections. So check out Ginny Robertson, LLC, or look up On Purpose Woman Community. It is an awesome group. All right, and then very quickly is an ad here for Lucky Dog Wellness, and that's LuckyDogWellness.com. Jane Rainier is a canine wellness specialist. She will be glad to discuss the well-being and health of your dog or some other pets. She also teaches pet first aid, pet massage, and she really goes into the healthy eating of what it takes to keep our pets healthier longer. She looks at chronic illness or disease, aging, signs of aging, or even adjustments to a new home. So check out LuckyDogWellness.com. All right. Jumping into the show, I'm going to bring my guest on the air with us. We're going to talk with Chanel about small business taxes. Chanel was a former IRS revenue agent who performed tax audits for individuals and small businesses. She has an MBA in accounting and finance, and she loves to do QuickBooks Online Pro Advisor. She currently owns and operates services for individuals and businesses through Nell's Tax Services. And it has just been an awesome pleasure to cross paths with Mrs. Simmons and certainly to find out more about what she does, how she helps others, and certainly for anyone who is a small business, there is a lot of information that you might really want to know about. Good morning, Chanel. How are you today?
Good morning, Anna. How are you? Real quick, I just want to make sure people know the company is Nell's Tax Help. Nell's Tax Help.
I'm sorry. I just keep changing people's businesses' names to whatever I just come up with some days. And that's
fine.
Really,
that's your creative mind going.
But we want people to be able to find you and connect with
Absolutely.
You. And I really need, I do all this homework. I read your website. I read the emails you send. I do all this stuff ahead of time. And then I don't keep it in front of me when I'm doing the show. And, you know, then it's like, oops, let me fix that. And in this case,
you
let
fine.
You fix that. So we certainly want people to know that we're going to do actually three shows. We're going to be talking about what happens to your taxes when you're a small business that fails, or maybe it never even gets started, which is something that I think a lot of small business people never really think about. It's like, okay, the business failed, I'm done, finished. Well, maybe you are and maybe you're not. And then on August the 16th, we're going to talk about those side jobs and how that impacts our taxes and what can we report and what do we have to report and then what can we deduct. And then at the end of the month, we're also going to talk about what is the audit? How can we make sure that our business is ready if that ever does happen? I have to admit, I have been very lucky that I've been in and out of business now. I guess it's been 16 years since I retired from my full-time career, and I've done a couple of little things here and there. And it has always been an issue. How much income is considered taxable? What does my little side job on the weekend require? I mean, there are a lot of questions and a lot of assumptions by people. So we really want Nell's Tax Help, LLC, to set some people straight.
Yes,
so that we
absolutely.
Don't get audited by IRS. So
absolutely.
Jump in.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
jump
absolutely.
In and tell us a little bit about you.
So, as you said, I used to work for the IRS. I did it for 7 years. I worked out of the Washington, D.C. metro area. So if there's any listeners down there and you might have actually met with me face-to-face, you know that I'm a very fair person, but I am very compliant with the tax law. And, you know, I hope it didn't hurt you too badly if in fact, there was an adjustment. But otherwise, you know, I left the service because I would sit across small business owners and independent contractors and self-employed individuals, and their biggest issue was the fact that they didn't have, one, a tax professional who knew what they were doing. They were probably dealing with, like, a friend of theirs who took a few bookkeeping classes, or a friend of a friend of a friend recommended this guy because he could give you a huge refund. There was always some circumstance as to why the professional they were dealing with just was not as professional as they needed. And the biggest problem was they needed someone who knew what they were doing and was honest about the advice, because there was also that. You had some folks who did know what they were doing, but they were more concerned about keeping a client versus telling them the truth of what the consequences were of their decision or non-decision. So me thinking as I do, I said, okay, I'm going to be proactive. As an IRS agent, I'm catching you years after whatever it was that you did. And at this point now, it's whether you're going to get penalized or not. Whereas if, you know, I left and went out on my own, I can now be of service to individuals and self-employed folks as well as small businesses and, you know, hopefully catch you before it ever even reaches the IRS. And if it does, they're not going to find anything because we've already made those considerations. So that's pretty much the gist of me and Nell's Tax Help and why I do what I do. I really have a heart for wanting to help the little guy get it right and stay right. So.
And you say that that's a little thing, but really, for most of us, I think certainly I'm in my 60s. Most people in my age group and even in the 40s and the 50 age group, we've pretty much been raised with the idea that you don't want to cross the IRS. You really want to do it right. You really don't want problems with your finances that's going to bring the IRS into your life. because it really can turn your life upside down if you're doing things wrong. And again, part of it is a friend of a friend said, or this is how my friend did it. They never mm-hmm. got in trouble. Doesn't mean that it's right. It just means they never got caught. And
correct.
If you're like me, you get caught. I don't care what you do wrong, you get caught, you know.
But
you
know,
you learn early on. I learned early on at age 7 that you do things right. And then you don't
right.
have those problems. And
right.
so here you are, you've worked for the IRS, and now you're out there on your own helping
right.
people to avoid being on the other side of that desk, having
correct.
To explain yourself. So what was the first thing you decided to do when you opened your business? Were you going to just help everybody, or were you looking for a specific client? What was
no.
your goal when you
so,
first decided?
So a lot of my well-to-do friends were like, oh, you need to, you know, the next step for you for sure is definitely get your CPA, because, you know, you can get hired by the big wigs, the big four, and make crazy money because, you know, you work for the IRS and you already have the MBA. You already have, you know, over 15 years of accounting experience, you know, in total. They were like, you know, go for the big dollars. You can do it. And that is something that I, you know, it's always appealing. But I know for me, I think because of the fact that the division that I worked in the IRS, I worked in the small business self-employed division. And even though that sounds like it's the little guy, I mean, I sat across tables of companies that had assets worth up to $10 million, easy. So, you know, they had international clients, and some of them, you know, had regional businesses where they had several locations throughout the East Coast, or they might have been bi-coastal. So, you know, even though that sounds like I was working with, you know, like the mom and pop shops, some of these companies were huge. I used to sit across from a slew of attorneys and accountants while I'm telling them what the adjustment was going to be on the return. So I'm used to those environments, but what, like I said, I saw a need for those people who are starting, who either just started or they've been around for a while and they're not that big. At most, they might have 2 or 3 locations, gross revenue no more than maybe $3 million, maybe a handful of employees. But there's just so many things that are wrong. And, you know, the adjustments could easily be a year's gross salary, you know, for or the gross profits for the company, or just everything. Like, it could be the tax adjustment could literally eat up all money that they have and bury that company just from auditing one return, let alone if there was multiple years. And a lot of it was
Chanel. Let's think about this, because there again, you have just said a whole lot of things. Certainly when people are thinking small business, they're not thinking $3 million, $10 million. They're not thinking that across the table are going to be all these lawyers and all this kind of stuff. They really are perceiving small business as being more or less the mom and pop shops. But let's talk about what actually consists, or what actually, certainly here in Maryland, is a small business. Is it
sure.
the number of employees? Is it the amount of profit per year? What actually does the IRS say is a small business? Because we're hearing this from Congress.
The IRS says that a small business is anything under $10 million in assets. That's a small business, seriously. As far as they're concerned. If you had
okay, so that's
million,
what the IRS is saying. But now
mm-hmm.
Congress and certainly the Small Business Administration and some other people are saying under 50 employees, certainly when it comes to the health insurance, you know,
right.
if you have less than 50, you're exempt.
It depends on what you're talking about and what issue. It depends on what issue you're talking about. So if you're saying for employment tax purposes, then a small business is anyone, right, under 50 employees. However, for overall income tax purposes, so, you know, just the overall income tax purposes, Congress and the IRS says that anyone who has under $10 million in assets is a small business. So what might be relatively small for some folks, or would be a larger business for some folks, is actually considered small in the eyes of the IRS. However, like you were saying, I guess around the beltways, both of the beltways, 695 and 495, you know, I do deal with the person who is just, you know, they work out of their home, if you will. I deal with a lot of people who work out of their home. They work out of their home. They may have a storefront. Like I said, maybe a handful of employees, like 5 or 10 employees. They have just a few services that they offer, or they could be the guy who's the handyman who does pretty much a little bit of everything, and he works out of his truck.
Well, there again, you make a very good point, because there are so many different types of small businesses. So you really need, again, to have this tax professional who is going to be able to answer all those questions about what do I need to show to the IRS that I have this business, that I have these deductions. I know when we talked on the phone about doing the show, one of the examples we used was keeping receipts.
Yeah.
If I go to Home Depot tomorrow, now I have a small business, I operate out of my house. If I go to Home Depot tomorrow, am I buying something that's tax deductible? Or did I just decide I wanted a new door on my house and I went to Home Depot? I got a tax receipt. I have a receipt. I can deduct this, right?
And that's when you need to have a tax professional always on hand for those kind of questions. Because the true answer to that is it, and I know people hate this answer, but the real answer to that is it depends. You know, that door could possibly be tax deductible, you know, for the person who might be operating their business out of their home. And then even though it's tax deductible for that person that is operating it out of their home, is it deductible as a direct business expense, meaning that you will get the full amount of that door because it goes directly to the outside of your office? Or is it indirect? You know, or is it indirect because it's another door for the house, but it might be, you know, a part of something that you use, you know, for the business. Like maybe that's another entryway, but it's not the office door. So, I mean, there's so many contingencies, and this is the reason why people like myself and other tax professionals, we are constantly telling people, please, please, please contact us. Before and after you do a transaction, because if something comes up afterwards, we might be able to help you. But always before, because before we can now navigate different possibilities or solutions that can be in your favor before the transaction is done. So,
I know one of the things, one of the best advices I got, and this was probably 20 years ago before I became an entrepreneur, was when you keep those receipts, right on the back of it, what it is and what it's for. I mean,
Absolutely.
How hard is that? You know,
Absolutely.
You're going to come home, you're going to take the receipt out of your pocket, and hopefully you're going to put it into a folder or an envelope or something that you use for business that where you collect your receipts. Take a minute, and it doesn't even take a whole minute, to write on there what it's for. Now,
Absolutely.
I just mentioned that Jenny Robertson is one of my airtime sponsors. She does the in-person networking meetings. She also does publish a magazine. She also does speaking. These are different parts of her business. What receipt goes with which part of the business? Is one part of her business successful and the other part of the business is losing money? You know, these are questions where you need a tax professional to help sort things out, in my opinion.
Absolutely. And you bring up a good thing. Just in general, good record-keeping practices is always important. I'm always emphasizing that, you know, like you said, not only what was the business purpose for an item, but absolutely should keep receipts. I know in this day and age, everyone is worried about everything being virtual and digital. The great thing is there are apps out there that allow you to make photos or scan your receipt so you can have a digital copy. But at the end of the day, all because information might be recorded on a spreadsheet or in a notebook or in QuickBooks even, it doesn't necessarily mean that that is proof of that item. Usually if the IRS was to come in, they're going to want a third-party proof of what that is. So that's typically the receipt, the statement, the invoice. So a lot of people don't realize that, especially in this day and age when everything is so digital and so everything is compiled and condensed and contracted. They're like, I don't need a receipt. I have it on my credit card statement. Yeah, well, if the credit card statement, like you said, was just Home Depot, who knows what that's for? It's just going to say Home Depot. It's not going to break down what it was actually, what the item was, and let alone what it was for. So that's always important. But so as far as us talking about when businesses go wrong, because, you know, when it goes wrong, when it fails, it's unfortunate when a business doesn't make it. Sometimes it doesn't make it because they didn't keep good records, but but needless to say, sometimes it just doesn't make it because someone changes their mind and they say to themselves they just don't want to go into business or start the business even. A lot of questions some people ask me, you know, what can I deduct in that situation? It all depends on the situation. So there's a few situations I want to explore. If you decide you are thinking about going into business, but you never actually start the business. You just did a whole bunch of research. You might have spent money even on traveling and just looking into things, but you never did anything tangible to start the business. And what I mean by tangible is like, you know, getting the name registered, getting the EIN. All it was just a lot of looking around and startup. Well, unfortunately, those costs, they say that is not deductible. Just because you had the idea of going into business and you're researching it, but you never start the business at all, like you never do anything to start the business, you cannot deduct that. That's considered personal. So I know that might be a blow for some people out there who may have spent money on an idea for starting a business, but until you actually take some steps to start that business, they will not allow you to take any kind of deduction for that. It's legally considered a personal expense.
I know, yeah. Certainly for 5 years I had a small shop at an indoor flea market, and I was constantly telling the people when they rented their booth and opened their own little shop, go to Towson, get a license. Those licenses at that time were under $20. Mm-hmm. Get the license. You're now in business. Mm-hmm. You've put a deposit down on the booth. You're ready to open.
Right.
You've bought something that you're going to sell. You bought it at an auction. You bought it at other flea markets. People have just given you stuff. And you come in, you put down the deposit, and I've assigned you a booth. You have your booth number.
Right.
You have your license. You're now in business, right?
Right.
And then
you just brought me to situation number two. Situation number two,
right,
is that person, like you said, who basically is going to go ahead and they do some steps. So let's say they purchased the license. I'm gonna go a step further. Let's say they gave an attorney like $1,000 to write up their partnership agreement if they were partners, or you know, they paid a professional to do some stuff for them. They even went and got the name registered, because you know, like here in Maryland, it only costs about $25 to get your name registered and get started. So they put some money down and they were very serious about getting the business started. But let's say they changed their mind before they even opened their doors. They changed their mind and they said, you know, I decided not to do this. Well, the great thing about that is those expenses now will be considered a capital loss. So you would be able to deduct it. Now, the way that the government does capital losses, the most you'll be able to deduct as an expense that year would be $3,000 of it, so possibly. But you would be able to deduct it as a capital loss, and you could carry whatever is over and above that $3,000 into future years. against other, and you can just keep on deducting 3,000 of it until it's all gone. So whenever you actually put money down towards actually getting it started, so like I don't want you to think about researching, like actual steps to get it started, such as, like you said, the license, getting a name registered. You might even put like a down payment on the building that it was going to be located. So steps that you really were serious about starting that business, but for whatever reasons, it just didn't work out before the business even started, you can deduct that as a capital loss. Not as a business deduction, but a capital loss. So, and feel free to contact myself, as a tax professional to really get more into the nuts and bolts of the technicalities of what a capital loss is, but it can be deducted.
Well, it's certainly an important piece of information because a lot of people do decide they're going to jump into this business. Oh, it's going to be easy. I'm going to be the boss. I can set my own hours. I'm going to do what I want to do. And then for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. Now, I had one lady who wound up having appendicitis, wound up in the hospital, and she wasn't able to come in and open her business. Well, that took about a month and a half. And when it was all said and done, she and her husband decided that, you know, she really didn't want to be in business and give up every weekend because part of the rules of the indoor flea market was that you had to be there every Saturday and every Sunday, and you had to be there 7 to 3. That's every weekend. And because she had been so sick, and she really was, I mean, it went sepsis, it was really a bad deal, you know, her life expectancy flashed before her eyes, and it was like, what do I really want to do with my weekends? What do I really want to do with my spare time? So her business never opened. And I'm pretty sure she just let everything go, and I don't know that she ever talked to a tax person or not. But then there were those people who, like I said, put the deposit down, got their license, and they came in once or twice and said, you know, this is crazy. I'm not giving up every Saturday. I'm not giving up every Sunday. I had another lady who said, oh, no, I go to church on Sunday. Well, why are you getting into a business that requires you to be there every Saturday and every Sunday?
Right.
And we actually invited her to leave because she was never there on Sunday. It was like, you're only here half time. That's not what this place is about. People come in to look for you. You're in business. You should be there. You should be open. So there are lots of reasons why places fail. And then I think, especially lately, people just jump into the T-shirt business or they jump into the pizza business or, you know, and they don't know all the rules. They don't know all the laws. They, you know, don't have all the training they need. They don't know how to order supplies. You know, they either have too much supplies and it goes bad. Is that a business deduction? Is that a loss? You know, how do you handle that when you're in the food business and the food in the fridge goes bad or the refrigerator breaks down? There again, that's when you need a tax professional to give you advice of what you can take off your taxes, what about insurance, what about replacement costs, what is a business deduction? Because some people just think everything is. They just think everything is a deduction.
Correct. And that brings me to situation three. Situation three, you know, as you were saying, the person who is, like in your example, with the flea market where they actually started the business. Like they put the shingle out and said, you know, I'm open for business. And they've incurred whatever costs they had, you know, prior to starting and then whatever costs they had as they put the shingle out and said, I'm open. At that point, you can deduct any expenses that you have that you incurred once you said you were open as business expenses. And everything that you incurred prior to opening would be called what they call startup expenses, and you can deduct typically in the first year up to $5,000 of that, and then the rest of it you have to take a portion of it over 118 months. for anything that you paid for prior to opening. Anything that you paid for after opening for the business, you can deduct as a business expense, even if you did not generate any income. I'll repeat that again. Even if you didn't generate any income, if you officially opened for business, if you, let's say you was a renter and you said that this a building is open and available for rent, you can deduct all those expenses, even though you might not have ever collected any rent that year because you were available for business and you were, and you incurred those costs. So that's a really important thing to know. A lot of people don't realize that. So then, of course, if you decide to cancel it, then all you would literally do is you would just report the business like you would had it did well that year, and you just put all those expenses there, and then that's it. You know, it's your final return, and then, you know, Godspeed to you. And then, of course, if you sell any assets or anything like that, if you had any assets that you sold, you would take care of those accordingly. But, you know, you basically do get to deduct any business expenses once you open, even if you don't generate any income because you were available for business. Now, don't be abusive with that, because one of the big things that the IRS definitely looks for is what they call hobby loss. So if your business over some years never generates any net income, so like after you put whatever much you make versus however much you're spending, and it's never making a positive amount, it's always in the negative, it's always you paid more than what you made, they're going to start to question, is that a hobby or not? So you always got to be mindful of that. So those are some of the other things you got to consider, too, when you decide to go into business. Not only what you can deduct, but does your business look like an actual business? Does it look like something that you're actively trying to pursue to be successful? Or is it, in fact, a hobby? Is it, like you said, something where, like the lady said, she's giving up her Sundays? Doesn't sound like that's something that, you know, even if she did decide to go with it, is something that she was really trying to push to necessarily be successful. It would have been very much so something like, oh, if it made some money, great. If it didn't, that's fine too. If that's the situation, then it might not even be really a business. It may be a hobby, and that's treated completely different than the way businesses are. You can still deduct the expenses for hobbies, but you also have to report the income as well. So.
And there again, depending on where you are, what business you're doing, you know, filing your sales tax reports. You know, there are just certain things that you have to do to show that you're in business. And when you don't do them, yes, I would think that would be a red flag for the IRS to come in and say, you know, hey, what are you doing? And I know, again, with the flea market business, a lot of people don't think they should pay taxes. Now, this is the customers. They don't think they should pay taxes because they're buying something that's used. Well, guess what?
Wow.
You're in the state of Maryland. You're in the United States of America.
Right. It's a sales
and
tax.
Pretty much if you sell something, if somebody sells you something, you're going to pay taxes. You're going to pay a sales tax in most states.
Right.
And, of course, there again, it's going to depend on which state you're in. You know, I don't care that you don't live in Maryland. You came to Maryland, you're going to pay me 6%. Well, I live in Delaware. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care that you live in Delaware. I don't care that you live in Pennsylvania. You're in Maryland and you're buying this from me. I have to pay 6% sales tax.
Correct.
That means I either need to take it out of my pocket or I need to take it out of your pocket.
Exactly. And that's exactly what would have happened. If you're not collecting that from the customer, then, yeah, you're taking that literally out of your pocket. And that brings me to another important point, though. If the business fails and you have other tax requirements, such as employment tax and sales tax, you still have to report that. So, like, let's say, like, this month we just started August, and let's say it's day two of August, but you decided, you know what, I don't even want to be in business anymore, and you started yesterday. And let's say you had, like, an employee, and you sold some products. you know, you basically at that point would need to go ahead and report that and file that and deposit that money to the IRS, you know, for the employment tax and to your state for the sales tax. So, you know, even though the business no longer exists, you still have to make sure you take care of those requirements as well.
Just like there are startup costs, there are close-down
mm-hmm.
costs, whether
Correct.
It's cleaning out your business that you rented. You know, if you rented this building, or in my case with the flea market, the people would come in and rent a space. Some of them were 8 by 10. Some of them were 12 by 14. Whatever your space was, you had to come in and clean that stuff out. And if you didn't come back and clean your stuff out, we sent you a bill because we had to clean it out. Somebody had to get paid to clean out what you left behind. We didn't care that you said, oh, we'll throw it away. That doesn't matter. You left it there. It had to be cleaned out. Somebody got paid to do that. And like you said, that person earned a salary. My boss had to pay the taxes, whatever. And he would send you a bill. And he would say, you know, you owe us this money. And a few times we actually went to court and collected because you were in business. I love the man who stood there and said to the judge, oh, if I closed that business, that doesn't count. And it does count because, you know, you are still in business. And until you actually close everything down, you know, it requires that you do what you have to do. You just, you know, have to be there and you have to pay to remove your stuff. You have to pay maybe to clean the place. If you've rented a building, you have to pay the dumpster guy that comes to empty your trash. I mean, there are certain costs that still go beyond you saying, I'm closed. And that's where the tax professional, I think, is going to come in to help you out and answer those questions. Chanel, are there some other things that we haven't covered? Because we're going to run out of time here very shortly. Chanel, have I lost you?
Oh, can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Hello?
We're running out
okay,
of time.
Good.
Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you wanted to cover? Because we're going to be back on the air in 2 weeks. What else do we want to say today? That?
Yes, as far as today, you know, it's unfortunate when you have a business that, you know, or an idea, and you were courageous enough to go out there and not only attempt to make it happen, but you put money against it, and unfortunately it just didn't make you money, or it made you some money, but, you know, it just didn't work out well for whatever reasons, whether it wasn't financially successful or it wasn't something that you felt was meant for you and your family or wherever you are in life right now. So, but, like I said, what's great is, depending on what situation you fall in, hopefully not situation number one, but if you fall in situation two or situation number three, you can recoup some of that cost. So that's where, like we were talking earlier, record keeping is so important because as long as you keep track of those items and what they were for, you might be able to actually deduct them and at least benefit somehow, you know, on your tax return, because then those amounts can offset other income that you received during the year. So, and if you have any just specific questions for you and your business, you can always feel free to contact me directly. My phone number is 443-868-7629.
Repeat
right now,
that and repeat it slower, Chanel.
Okay.
Say it so people can write it down.
It's
say your phone number. 443-8-8-7629. Okay. One more time. 443-868-7629.
And is there an email? Yes. You can email me directly at S as in Sam, D as in David, S as in Sam, I as in Isaac, M is in Mary, M is in Mary, O is in Oscar, N is in Nancy, S is in Sam, at NelsTaxHelp.com. So it's NelsTaxHelp.com. That's directly to me. So if you have any specific questions about your particular situation, whether you're just concerned about that you had an idea or you started up something but you scrapped it and you're not quite sure if you'll be able to receive any tax benefits, I will love to talk with you and explore your individual situation so we can see if we can make that venture work out for you versus against you.
And that's always a good thing, you know, because some people have to try a few things before they learn enough, before they find the right niche. Or, as I said about jumping into T-shirts and things, sometimes the area is just too saturated with too many of the same companies. And with too much competition, nobody's making enough money. And you have to really decide to change what you're doing. So there are all kinds of scenarios that we're going to be talking more about on August the 16th about taxes and small businesses, because there are just so many what-ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, what if the ceiling falls down? That wasn't your fault. That was whoever owned the building's fault. You know, what is recoupable? What is deductible? You know, certainly I know some people would then buy all the stuff that they were going to sell, change their mind, and then they sold the stuff at a loss. Could they take off the loss? Did they have to eat the loss? You know, there's just so many things, and they really need to talk with a tax professional.
Absolutely.
So now, thanks for spending part of your morning with us. I look forward
Not
to talking
problem.
To you again on August the 16th.
Mm-hmm.
I will be talking
August,
with you then.
Side jobs. We'll be talking about side jobs. So, like, that's for, like, our LuLaRue people and what's the other one, Mary Kay?
A lot of those, yes. So we're going to be talking with Chanel on August the 16th about side jobs, what's tax deductible, what you must report, taxes you must pay. I want to thank Ginny Robertson, LLC, for being my airtime sponsor. Ginny is certainly on a mission to connect people with their gifts, their experiments, with their selves and ideas, certainly creating community. An on-purpose woman community is available on Facebook. It is an all-women's organization, and there are certain times of the year where we do have men that attend events, certainly seminars, workshops. I know this weekend Ginny is doing a workshop on procrastination. It's a one-day workshop. You can go on Friday, or you can go on Saturday, or you can go on Sunday. Check out GinnyRobertson.com online. Thanks a lot, Ginny, for being my airtime sponsor. Thanks a lot to Jane Rainier for having her ad on today's show, LuckyDogWellness.com. You can give Jane Rainier a phone call, 410-961-3542, 410-961-3542. Talk to Jane about events that are coming up, her pet first aid classes. Certainly talk to her about her new PR assistant named Fifi, who has written a book even about responsible dog ownership. Thanks a lot for listening to Anna's Journey here on Blog Talk Radio. I will also be doing a show on Fridays. There will be five of them coming up about financial health, managing your wealth. Certainly talking about different kinds of things, including power of attorney, wills, advanced directives, all kinds of things, college funds, just a number of financial things that people need to think about, even retirement plans. We're going to be doing that on certain Fridays coming up in August and September. Be sure to check out blogtalkradio.com/Anna, A-N-N-A, hyphen, Renault, R-E-N-A-U-L-T. Thanks a lot. The computer's going to be telling me we're out of time. I thank you for spending part of your time. Remember, the shows are recorded. You can always go back and listen, and you can share the link with others. Thanks a lot.